Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis. You're listening to Naturally Savvy. My fabulous co-host Andrea is off today. Andrea, I hope you're having a great day. Here on Naturally Savvy, we don't just talk about going green and eating organic and staying away from GMOs. We also like to talk about compassion and really understanding where people are in their lives and how you can be supportive. I am so thrilled to have on the show my friend and co-editor, Tricia Blivin-Chazanoff, MA. Tricia, welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Thank you.
I invited Tricia on today because I wanted to talk a little bit about invisible disabilities. Tricia has some of her own. I have people in my life that have them, and what that really means. Tricia, what does that mean to you, invisible disabilities?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's a lot of definitions. I think for, you know, the discussions that you and I have had, you know, we've talked a lot about brain-based invisible disabilities. And those are things like learning disabilities, mental illness, developmental disorders that cause people to struggle in the way they move through the world, struggle in relationships, struggle in jobs, struggle in academic settings, a whole myriad of ways. But the reason for those struggles are not necessarily obvious. You know, there are times, there are disabilities where you that are obvious when a person is in a wheelchair, person is visibly ill, or has some sort of difficulty that is easy to see and easy to understand. People make accommodations for those situations. But when you're somebody who's struggling with anxiety or a learning disability or an autistic spectrum disorder, they're not obvious, and so there's an expectation that you move through the typical world in a typical way, but people aren't aware of those needs, and so there's a disconnect there.
That is so great the way you described that, Tricia. You know, when I was growing up, my mother had severe sensory processing issues, very sensory defensive. She couldn't stand smells. It was always too hot or too cold. She couldn't cook with spices. She couldn't drive on the freeway because the cars were moving too fast. And she was quirky. She was Diane. She was quirky. But she had friends say to her, Diane, you're too smart for this, because she was very smart. Why are you acting this way? You should just try to, you know, get over it. She never got any sort of recognition or validation from a health professional. And as a child, I knew there was something wrong with her, but I was also embarrassed because everybody thought she was weird. And it was a terrible thing. It was really tough. And my heart just broke for her. And she died never, ever getting a name for her illness and never being validated. So I reached out to Tricia, and we put this book together, Easy to Love But Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, and True Stories. And there are some fabulous stories in the book. And Tricia, you share your own story. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your own experience?
Well, sure. Yeah, I have an anxiety disorder as well as, actually I have multiple anxiety disorders, mostly generalized anxiety, but also obsessive compulsive disorder. And looking back kind of retrospectively, I can date my first OCD episode to probably about age 10. And I wasn't actually diagnosed until I was in my 30s. And I suffered my entire adult life just living in fear, fear of just about everything. And nobody understood. And I didn't understand. So I would hear things like, you know, just relax. Why are you so worried? You have to stop worrying, or you're going to make something happen. Or, you know, anxiety. People speaking to me as though my anxiety were a choice, a personality trait, or a bad habit. And I didn't know anybody else who was anxious and scared the way I was anxious and scared all the time. And so I thought that it was just a bad habit or a bad aspect, an unpleasant aspect of my personality. I thought it was something I could control. I didn't understand it, and I didn't have anybody who understood it. And the biggest part of the reason I didn't have anybody who really understood or could help is because I never shared anything. I worked so hard to pretend that I was okay, pretend that my life and the challenges I had were just like everybody else's. And I think that if I had had one person who shared their story with me, who would tell me the things that they worried about and the ways that, that they were frightened all the time, I think that would have opened up a whole different experience for me. And it would relieve so much of my burden because it would have given me the experience of not being alone, of knowing that I wasn't the only person and experiencing this. And I would have moved from, you know, that isolation and that shame that is so often associated with these invisible disabilities into something a lot more constructive.
Well, that's why I'm so excited that you joined me to do the Easy to Love to Heart but Hard to Live With, Real People Invisible Disabilities, True Stories, because having that validation and reading and have somebody else say, oh, me too, I have those same worries, or oh, I have learning disabilities. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a Q&A with Henry Winkler about having dyslexia, and his parents, they spoke German. They used to call him a dumb dog, and he just always felt like he was stupid, and everyone accused him of not trying hard enough. And, you know, he's this amazing, successful man who made such a difference in the world, and we have so many great stories in the book. You know, what was interesting for me, Tricia, is that, you know, I ended up having a daughter like my mother, and I recognized the sensory issues in my daughter, and I thought, oh my gosh, is she going to have a life like my mother did? And it's totally opposite. I mean, the first few years there was not any validation, but eventually we did get to the right specialists, the right doctors, and we did get the validation, and she has a, you know, an educational plan that works for her, individualized educational plan it's called, and things are, you know, are going well, and it's because we know, and we can talk about it, but there's still a lot of people that can't talk about it, and that's why it's
well,
so important.
Well, I remember you saying to me that the turning point for you and your daughter was when you read a story about somebody else going through the exact same thing. You were standing in line in a magazine. And I think that really speaks to the power of the book, is because there's so much power in stories. And somebody else told their story, and it touched you, and it touched your daughter's life, and it changed your lives dramatically because of that story. I think the stories in the book have the potential to do the same thing for the readers.
Oh, I think so, too. When we look at autism, mental illness, fetal alcohol syndrome disorders, OCD, ADHD, dyslexia, and many others. And again, just to know that you're not alone, and it's just so moving. You know, we've gotten a great response so far. And I just think if you're out there and you're having trouble, find a way to talk about it. There's so many great groups online. That saved me, I have to say, when my daughter was really little, just having an online support group you can go to, even though she was still kind of more extreme than anybody else I could find. At least there were parents who weren't saying, oh, you know, just take her to the park and she'll get tired. I'm like, no, if I take her to the park, she'll never sleep again. You know, it's just like, it was so, it's like, don't you feel sometimes like you're living in this alternate world? Like you're just not fitting in with what's supposed to be happening.
Well, you know, yes. It's funny. In addition to my own invisible disabilities, I have a son on the autism spectrum, and he was diagnosed with Asperger's, which doesn't actually exist anymore, as we know. Mm-hmm. But he would be considered to be on the spectrum. And he also has an anxiety disorder. And he doesn't fit into any page or any peg. He's a square peg and trying to fit into a round hole. And again, just getting back to the power of stories, things like connecting online and listening to people's story online or in books or however they're told, gives you an opportunity to create a connection.
It really does. Tricia, you are fabulous. The book is Easy to Love but Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, True Stories. You can go pre-order it on Amazon now. I'm Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio. On Radio MD, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.